Merci, Monsieur le Président. A theme of this meeting is a civil society, engine of change. And I would be remiss if I didn't begin my comments by noting an inspired example of that in the recent actions of the German people in providing the welcome, it's in the news today, that they have given to the refugees from Syria and the Middle East. It's a remarkable example of how civil society can change attitudes and the direction of history in a short period of time. So, as they say, chapeau, chapeau au peuple allemand et à la société civile en Allemagne. The question is, can the EU change? As an American in this place, it's a privilege to be here, but I approach the question with apprehension. It's a grave question, especially for those who have seen in the European project a certain ideal type, a union of peace, but also justice and social values, including economic equality and political democracy. To be candid, Europe today is not egalitarian by its own standards. And in economic matters, democracy has been overridden by finance. I don't speak here from any sense of American superiority. The same is true in my country, but we expect better from you. Let me speak of the past 5 months during which I had the honor of assisting the government of Greece in line with the democratic mandate that they received on the 25th of January. That mandate was an act of civil society. It was undertaken with determination and courage in very difficult circumstances, following 5 years of the failure of policies that had been imposed on that country in 2010, and the effective collapse of the previous political order of the major parties that had been sharing power in Greece, alternating power for a generation. The evidence of the situation was clear, and the Greek people acted on that evidence in good faith, asking their new government to negotiate a new deal with Europe. Specifically, and you will all recall this history, it's not that long ago, the government requested 5 things. They requested realistic fiscal targets. That is to say, a certain honesty in macroeconomic policy that would not lead to a self-reinforcing cycle of failure. They requested respect for the basic rights of labor to organize and to bargain collectively, rights which had been abrogated under the experimental labor market policies of the previous 5 years. They asked for no more cuts to pensions that were already in many cases at or well below the poverty line. That is to say, they asked for a certain principle of solidarity in the conduct of the government toward its most vulnerable, most frail citizens. They asked for an end to pointless fire sale privatizations, a principle of economic common sense, just to say, if you have to sell things, and they do have to sell things, you don't put them all on the auction block at once, because that tends to destroy the price. And they asked for a restructuring of unpayable debts, which is an act of realism, but also to a degree, a request that democracy get a certain priority over finance. Those were the 5 major points, and over 5 months, the response had 5 major elements. The East Europeans said no, largely on ideological grounds, because they felt, from their own experience and their own beliefs, that the policies that had previously been imposed were the correct policies, and that none others were possible. The Spaniards, Portuguese, the Irish, and some other governments said no, largely on political grounds, because they felt that if they made concessions to the Greeks, their own political fate would be affected. They would give an encouragement to rising movements in their own countries. The European Central Bank said no to any loss of its control and authority in the matter of economic policy in the countries of the Eurozone. And it pursued a policy of financial destabilization, a policy that is contrary to the spirit of central banking as it's understood everywhere. The International Monetary Fund said yes to debt restructuring, but no to any change in the policies which had been pursued for the five previous years. And the government of Germany, which was the major interlocutor with the Greek government, and which is the one government that could have said yes, and perhaps even considered the possibility of saying yes to some degree on some points, in the end decided against it and broke off cooperation with the elected government of Greece. And so, at the end of June, the start of July, the Greek government was effectively forced by a policy of threats to its banking system to capitulate and to accede to the terms which it had been elected to renegotiate and which in the referendum of July 5th, the Greek people had rejected by a majority of 61%. As a result of that capitulation, the government itself has collapsed. Elections have been called, but Greece is for now and the foreseeable future, whatever happens, a protectorate in effect, back under full control of the creditor institutions. It is under the policy direction of something called a Memorandum of Understanding, which in its most recent version begins with these words. Greece has requested support from its European partners to restore sustainable growth, create jobs, reduce inequalities, and address risks to its own financial stability. I'm an economist. As a professional matter, I'm accustomed to a certain degree of cynicism, but the cynicism in those words is truly breathtaking. The policies will, by all lights, have the opposite effect. Regressive tax increases, further pension cuts, more fire sales of public assets, foreclosures of housing. They will produce an increasing degree of recession and stress in Greek civil society. And for what purpose? For the purpose of placing the assets of the Greek state and of the Greek private sector on the auction block and making them available for sale to the highest, or in fact, not very high bidder. Displacing and dispossessing the Greek people from ownership of the physical assets, the capital assets of their homeland. That's the situation. That's the situation as I observed it up close for 5 months. Greece is only one small country in Europe, but events there are reverberating in civil society throughout Europe, in Spain, in Italy, in France, elsewhere. Progressives who've always been committed to Europe are asking, what now? Europe has sacrificed an asset, an important asset, which is the argument that for many years aligned the values of solidarity and social justice with the European project. What is happening, I believe, in political discourse across Europe now is a question of whether those two things can be still reconciled. And to the extent that they cannot be, the Greek rebellion won't be the last. So we come to the question, can Europe change? 2 years ago or so, in a document called The Modest Proposal, Yanis Varoufakis, Stuart Holland, and I outlined a proposal, a minimal proposal, which could have been operated within the framework of existing European treaties and charters, did not require a new constitutional framework for Europe. It was carefully designed to be functional within the existing laws. It had four elements. A sustainable restructuring of the debts based upon a certain degree of mutualization through the European Central Bank. the effective resolution of failed banks breaking the relationship, the toxic relationship between insolvent banks and insolvent governments. An investment program through the European Investment Bank of large scale and imaginative content capable not only of beginning directly the revitalization of the economy, but also of inspiring the private sector with new directions, green directions, for example, and the process of restoring economic growth and a certain degree of hope. And social insurance, elementary social insurance, to provide an element of solidarity across the continent on the continental scale, and to some extent to stabilize the incomes of the most vulnerable people against the risks that are faced by the governments in the most vulnerable regions. These remain, I think, the building blocks of a way forward, if there is to be a way forward at the European level. They represent, it seems to me, a middle way between the